Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Might be out of here.
Hey. Oh, baby.
The Beat on 720 WGN.
Yeah, 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 720 WGN, 309. Welcome to your Sunday afternoon, the sports portion of it on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Cubs and the Pirates at Wrigley. Cubs trying to avoid a sweep. Nothing, nothing. Your score will keep you up to date if anything happens. I'm getting nervous officially. Don't want to be at 500. And of more pressing note, the Blackhawks are down 2-0. But Harry Tynowitz, I think maybe for me, is wearing his Bulls shirt today. Did you put on the red and the white with the horns for yours truly? With on the back, it says Bulls Tradition. We've got tickets and weird things that I don't really can't see right now, but those are old school artifacts of glorious moments in Chicago Bulls time.
You say, is that my Bulls shirt? Like, I put on my Bulls shirt for you, singular. I have more than one Bulls shirt.
I didn't mean to, again, ever question your wardrobe. I know you've got many. How many Bulls jerseys do you have? You got a Norm Van Leer in the back closet over there?
I wish. I have memories of Norm Van Leer, and no one can ever take them away from me. Just my absolute favorite player, my favorite dude to hang with. I have the oldest jersey I own. Oh, you! Now I'm upset about something. My wife threw out the oldest jersey I have in my life. It's 40 years old. It was a 1976 Cubs Ray Burris jersey, game worn Ray Burris jersey.
Why did she throw it out, Harry?
Because she said it had mildew. It did not have mildew. It had grass stains. It's had grass stains since I got it in 1976. And you don't clean it because it's, you know, it's a Ray Burris jersey. It had the 1976 bicentennial patch. Or centennial patch.
The last thing I want to be is in the middle of a fight with you and your wife. And now I feel like I'm square in the middle of it.
They aren't fights.
What are they?
They're... They're more like documentaries.
Okay.
But now the jersey that I've had the longest in my life is a David Greenwood Bulls road jersey.
You got a number 10 Greenie on the road?
I believe it's a 34.
David Greenwood's 34?
And 10.
And 10. And
he wore
10.
Two numbers.
Okay.
He's one of them Bulls. Like Brad Sellers wore two numbers.
Number 2 and number 6.
Look at you, Carm.
Yeah. See, Greenwood was a little bit before my time.
Yes,
so
he was. No, he was way before you.
I only remember him as 10. I know that, and any Bulls fan would know, and perhaps not even the diehard Bulls fans, if the Bulls had won the coin flip, they would have had Magic Johnson. They lost, and they got David Greenwood. But it all worked out because they ended up with Michael.
We never would have had Michael Jordan if we had gotten Magic Johnson.
Right, so it was worth the wait, damn it, even though it would have been sweet to have Magic at the time.
So I own a Bulls David Greenwood jersey, and I've now you're making me miss the Bulls shirts that I had don't have anymore. I had a 91 Magic and Michael shirt, like from the finals, the two jerseys. I had one from the 90s with like the Bulls locker room that had all the jerseys hanging of the players, and I loved it because it had 25 for Kerr and 30 for Buschler. I'm like, yeah, Buschler's on a jersey, on a T-shirt.
Number 30.
Yeah, but I wore this today for the Bulls. I knew that you would love it. I got my Bulls coat with me.
This is great. This is great.
It's all good. I wonder if there are people that are like really, really diehard Hawks fans that are now going to cheer more for the Bulls. They're going to give the Bulls more affection, more attention, because the Hawks are off to a disappointing 0-2 start this year.
That is a very soft word for how the Hawks have started disappointing. I don't know. I feel like Hawk fans... the diehards at least stay loyal and are certainly not going to jump ship down 2-0 and be like, all right, I'm all in on the Bulls now, especially this Bulls team as an 8 seed. But they did beat the Boston Celtics twice this year. Now, both those games, this is how I look at my NBA regular season, Harry.
Yes.
If the game...
You're an NBA aficionado.
Well, this does not take aficionado level because an 8-year-old could look at the schedule and figure out what I'm about to tell you. But I think it is worth important to mention that both games that the Bulls won, the Celtics were coming off a back-to-back they had played the night before, and the Bulls hadn't, which is a huge edge in your NBA regular season. Now, they were early in the year, so at least one of them, so that takes a little bit of that away because you know, you're not as tired early in the season. But it does matter to me that the Celtics had played the night before. It also matters to me that the Celtics are the one seed. And it's an interesting... there's a terrible, sad dynamic to today.
Awful.
With Isaiah Thomas, who's the Celtics' best player. He averages 28.9 points per game. And he's a very unique guy because he's doing this from the point guard spot, playing 34 minutes a night. And Isaiah Thomas... not the Isaiah Thomas of the Detroit Pistons. By the way, he also leads them in assists with nearly six a game. But Isaiah Thomas is not 6 feet tall. He's probably not even 5'10". I mean, this is a little guy doing big-time things. But his sister was tragically killed in a one-car accident, and he found out about it yesterday. And he is deciding to play tonight, which is just obviously incredibly difficult. And then you... I guess feel like the team rallies around him and all that type of stuff, but I can't imagine, you know, a 22-year-old sister and you're going to get out there and play basketball. It's pretty tough.
Well, you know, I've never been in that, you know, a high school athlete, let alone college or pro athlete. And Isaiah Thomas is great. He grew up in Washington State and went to UW, and his sister is from there, and that's where she had the accident.
Yeah.
You know, so condolences, obviously, to Isaiah Thomas. But Brett Favre's greatest game he ever played was right after he lost his dad.
Right. And a lot of guys have... you know, played big after tragedy, for whatever that's worth. I mean, it's really, obviously, I think we all know that sports is the toy department of life. And but when you do have tragedy in your life, you do have to move forward. And even if it's a day later, I suppose part of that healing can be playing in the basketball game for Isaiah Thomas, which is what he'll be doing today, which... love to see Isaiah Thomas play incredibly well, and I'd love to see the Bulls win the basketball game. Vincent Goodwill, Comcast Sportsnet, is in Boston, and he is going to join us next, right before the great Fred Hoiberg speaks and Brad Stevens speaks.
Really? Why you got to go there?
I had to do it. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. Happy Easter. I hope you're having a great Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I know you are, Harry. You went to bingo this morning with your mom.
Yes. It's a riot.
Did you win?
No, well, I won in that I went to get her, and, you know, mom was up. So, you know, it's a lot easier when she's awake.
I love bingo, the four corners, the whole car, the diagonal, the X, love it. All right, Vincent Goodwill, Comcast Sportsnet is next, 720 WGN. Before we get to Vincent Goodwill, Comcast Sportsnet, covering the Bulls in Boston, CJ Miles, give the ball back to Paul George. Let him shoot the game-winning shot. What are you doing, CJ Miles?
It was a winnable game.
They were right there, man. Come on. It was a huge, huge opportunity for the Pacers to make that series super interesting. Didn't happen. Vincent Goodwill, Comcast Sportsnet, he would have given the ball back to Paul George. Wouldn't you have, Vincent Goodwill?
Dude, I'm a left-handed streaky shooter. I'm not passing the ball back once I catch it.
You are a black hole. Ball goes in but never comes out.
No. I am an unselfish ball player, but when it comes down to the last 4 or 5 seconds, if you kick the ball to me, that means you don't want it, and that means I do.
Yeah, well, you could actually make that argument for CJ Miles, too. Look, man, you gave it up. I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to win a game, and he had a decent look at it. So, all right, let's talk Bulls. Let's talk Celtics here, Vincent. You were a guy, I believe, that didn't think the Bulls were going to get in the playoffs, and we were texting a little bit before the show. I think you actually believe the Bulls can push Boston a drop here. I think you got it in six games, correct?
I've not made my official prediction yet.
Okay.
That will come in the Bulls pregame live on CSN Chicago tonight.
He's good.
But I do think that the Bulls can – I think you can steal a game. And I think if you have the best player in a series, you can win another game. Jimmy Butler is worth at least one game. Now, whether you're worth two, whether you're worth three, and God forbid this actually goes to a game seven, you know, nobody knows. But, you know, this is not a traditional number one seed in the Boston Celtics. You don't look at this roster and you're not afraid of it. The problem is for the Bulls that the Celtics max out what they do. And what they do well is they defend on the wing. opportunistic in the fourth quarter, and Brad Stevens is an excellent coach. Those things usually do translate well into playoff basketball.
Vincent, I love the stories. You know, I love the idea that Rajon Rondo, who played with the Celtics, who won his championship with Boston, I love him going back and biting the hand that once fed him. He looks like he's healthy. You think Rondo could be, X factor here for the Bulls?
I don't know if he can necessarily be the X factor, but I do think that he's critical, you know, for a number of reasons. A, because the point guard in this series will be so critical because of tempo, because of pace and decision making. And if, as at Rondo's position, if he can create enough in the first three quarters to where Jimmy Butler isn't worn down after 36 minutes or after 40 minutes, that Jimmy Butler can take over late, then I think that's where his greatest value is almost basically as a placeholder at that shot-creating position. But for him to hold on to that, that means that he's got to be hitting the jump shots. He's got to be getting into the lane and not being afraid to take the contact and going to the foul line. And that he's got to be setting up guys like Nikola Mirotic and even a guy like Jaren Grant, who you can see him playing minutes with. You know, he's got to make sure that those guys are eating too, because it can't just be Jimmy Butler. It can't just be the Dwayne Wade. It has to be a collective effort, at least until the last 4 or 5 minutes, where you can tell your star, hey, it's your show.
Vincent Goodwill with us here, Comcast Sportsnet, on Easter Sunday. We'll get to my favorite Easter Sunday basketball game in a moment. Okay, fine, we can do it now. 21-27, Michael, 59 points at the Pontiac Silverdome, taking out the Detroit Pistons. And, of course, if you know Vincent Goodwill, you know he's from Detroit and is a huge Isaiah Thomas fan, and that's really my main motivation in having him on, because I just want to talk Bulls Pistons back in the day. But, all right, let's talk about the Celtics here. They haven't won a playoff series, Vincent, in 5 years. And Isaiah Thomas in the playoffs is shooting 38%. He's a guy that you can scheme for a lot better in the playoffs. I know the Bulls have their own issues, but those are reasons for optimism, are they not?
I mean, if you just look at it and say, you know, big bank take a little bank. Usually in those situations, if your best player can face up with the other team's best player of similar position, so to speak, and you can say to Jimmy Butler, Jimmy shut Isaiah down in the last five minutes of the game, you know, that's something that could work well to your advantage if the game is close in the last 4 or 5 minutes. Now, you can talk about Isaiah Thomas' playoff numbers over the past couple of years, but this is the first time he's coming to the playoffs averaging 30 points a game. And this is the first time he's coming to the playoffs basically leading the league in fourth quarter scoring. So you can try to scheme around a guy like that. But he's been 5'9 all his life. He didn't just turn to 5'9 this afternoon. He's been that way since he's been in the league, and it's hard to sort of get a handle on him. He gets into the lane. The Bulls give up a lot of layups. That's not something that I trust this coaching staff to really put together a competent scheme for them to shut Isaiah down, short of, hey, Jimmy, you're big, he's small, help.
Speaking of the coaching staff, then how much of this is this series going to be a little – referendum on Fred Hoiberg and his ability to actually coach, period, because now he's got all the time in the world to set it up, and here it is, you're in the playoffs, what can you do?
Yeah, I think this is a big stage for him, you know, especially when you're going up against a counterpart in Brad Stevens, who's a pretty young coach, who's basically of similar experience to some degree because he came from the college world, and he had, like you said, he hasn't won a playoff series. This Celtics team is not exponentially more experienced than the Bulls. So if you're looking at adjustments and you're looking at which coach can sort of wrinkle up enough schemes to sort of free things up if all things are created equal, you wonder if the Bulls have that advantage on the sidelines or if they even have anywhere near a competitive level next to Brad Stevens. I think it's going to be a referendum. I love the fact that, you know, you can really see in these series who can coach and who can't.
Vincent, you know, everybody wanted Mirotić out of town at the trading deadline. He did not go, and he's played a lot better since the Bulls decided not to trade him, or they couldn't trade him. What do you see from 44, Nikola Mirotić, in this series?
I don't know what you can see. I don't know what you can predict from him in a situation like this, because his march was as predictable as the rest of his regular season has been, where he puts it together for 30 days. and then he disappears again. And last I checked, the calendar says April. So, to me, that's where he and Rondo are so critical together, because Rondo looks for him. And Nico knows, you know what, if I'm on a secondary break and I'm spotting up somewhere, almost similar to, since you guys want to go back into the way back time machine, similar to the same way that John Paxson used to be on a 12-foot string with Michael Jordan. Michael would be anywhere on the floor, and Pax would be circling around the perimeter just waiting for a pass to be open. Now, nobody's saying that Rondo is one and then Mirotić is two or anything like that, but the similarities between knowing that one player is going to be looking for you and to have your hands ready and in the shooting pocket and ready to fire, that means something. Now, whether Nico hits the shot, nobody knows, because I remember in Brooklyn, Nico was like 0 for 7 in a game that the Bulls had to win, and he basically cost them the game. He, along with a lot of other things, cost them a critical game. So I can't say that he's shaken out of all of his inconsistencies. He just had a really good month, and then he turned back into Nico again.
See, what's interesting, too, for me about what you're saying is I don't think that Rondo and Wade, and I think you would agree with this, ever really clicked all year. And Rondo's best time he was playing this year was when Wade was out. I'm not making the argument the Bulls are better without Dwayne Wade. That would be ridiculous. But I do think the chemistry between those two is odd. And that'll be something to watch in this series, because if those guys can somehow, they have to be on the same page for the Bulls to be competitive here.
Yeah, I think that's sometimes where it comes down to coaching, too, to be perfectly honest, where, okay, your first unit is full of guys who have been at least in the playoffs one time. Your second unit is full of guys who haven't been in the playoffs at all. So maybe, especially with you working Wade back into regular minutes, and Wade isn't going to get the type of touches that he would really want to with Butler on the floor and Rondo running the show, maybe you sub Wade out a little bit early. You have him be the anchor in that second unit in the second quarter, so where he can settle some of those younger guys down, because he's going to take up the bulk of a lot of those possessions as opposed to leaving Jaren Grant to create or leaving some of those other guys to do it. So I think, once again, coaching, scheming, figuring out minutes, and I think that's something where you have to sort of figure that thing out.
Vincent, we're up against the clock. We got to do news, but I'm trying to remember, besides Scott Hastings, who was the only other classy Piston that did not walk off the court when the Bulls swept the Pistons in the playoffs?
Okay, John Shelly did. Go ahead.
If you want to go there, Sally didn't. Dennis Rodman did. Joe Dumars didn't. Benny Johnson shook hands. It's just the fact that you see Isaiah and Lambert walking off, heads held high in a direct display of Detroit defiance, and I applaud them.
who's the worst NBA exec, Isaiah or Phil Jackson?
Phil Jackson, by far. Isaiah has at least taken teams to the playoffs.
That's true. All right. Hey, we'll be reading you, Vincent, and watching you, and thanks for jumping on, and enjoy the basketball game today. Hopefully the Bulls can make this interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. Take it easy.
Thanks, Vince. Terrific.
Vincent Goodwill out in Boston. Bulls of the Celtics at 5:30. WGN 335 with you till 6 o'clock. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Hope you're having a great Easter Sunday. What'd you do for Easter Sunday, Harry, other than take your mom to bingo?
You know, it was great Easter. I got my son to stop playing video games for 30 seconds
Good
so
job.
I could give him a chocolate bunny. And I asked my daughter if she could please clean up her room.
Good job.
Lucy at least gives me more attention than Reggie does.
Did you clean up your room?
Oh, yeah. The living room is very clean.
Good. I never know which way you're going to go. It's really enjoyable. So thank you for that.
Sure.
They
call it a family room. I'm part of the family.
There you go. Your reaction to Harry's question, 720 WGN, on Blackhawks fans. You're looking at the Bulls now because the Hawks are in trouble. I'm a diehard Blackhawks fan from the 630, Harry, and I believe the Hawks will win in six games. I heard on another station callers calling in saying things about the Hawks, and I can't believe it. Everybody needs to relax. All I got to say is go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks. I'm with you. I mean, they have looked awful. You know, game one, they didn't look awful, but they were the second best team on the ice for sure. Last night, they looked awful. I love Coach Q, and I love the core, and I love these young guys, and it was just really disappointing. But There's no way that I'm throwing in the white towel. The Blackhawks can come back. I was just wondering. I find myself really, I'm a Bulls fan. They're certainly my favorite team, you know, in the NBA. I've been a Bulls fan since I was a little kid. But I'm just wondering if other people that were like diehard Hawks fans, because the Hawks look like they are up against it now suddenly.
You're more interested in the Bulls all of a sudden because maybe they have a chance. 312-981-7200, perhaps. I think it would take the Bulls winning probably one, two, maybe even three games for there to be even a drop of buzz on the Bulls. But
I mean, not just so much that they have a chance, but just because, you know, are you going to, you know, instead of just like, you know, continually, you know, getting upset with your Hawks team, are you like more into watching the Bulls tonight or listening to the Bulls tonight? Do you care more? You know, you're going to show a little more affection now for the Bulls because the Hawks have sort of, you know, stumbled coming out of the gate.
Impromptu Karen Paul, what are you going to watch tonight, 60 minutes or the Bulls? Bulls are on at 5:30. Do you stick with the 60 minutes and a Scott Pelley? Pelley or the Bulls? 312-981-7200. I'll check the text line.
Pelley or Smelly?
Pelley or Tony Snell in the Bucks. How about congratulations to them yesterday with a big win?
That's great.
The Snelly cat. I saw him throwing something down. Hey, Luke, thanks for being patient. You want to talk Bulls, which never happens on this radio station. So you're on, buddy. What do you got, Luke?
I know a lot of people were happy with the Bulls drawing the Celtics in the first round compared to the Cavs.
Yes, I'm one of them.
Okay. Well, I'd like to know what you think about what I have to say about that. So I'm on the other side of that because I'm less focused on the Bulls winning a championship and more, for this year at least, and more focused on LeBron not advancing to the finals for the seventh time in a row because I feel that it's impossible that the Bulls would win a championship this year. And it's more likely that LeBron won't make it to the finals this year. So that being my focus, I would have liked to see LeBron face a team in each round leading up to the Eastern Conference Finals and including the Eastern Conference Finals, giving him the best chance to lose.
Wait, okay, so, stop there, Luke. Stop there, Luke.
Yeah.
First of all, do you think the Bulls would have been a tougher matchup against the Cavs than the Pacers and Paul George?
Yes.
Okay, I think you're wrong. Paul George is a stud. They were right there yesterday with a 109. Go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off, but it's not just
your show. Go ahead.
It's not just the Cavs matchup. Yeah. It's what I was going to also say is it's that the Bulls could beat the Celtics, which would really piss me off because the Celtics can beat the Cavs.
Okay, Hold on, Luke. Let's have a conversation. Okay. Two things there. The Bulls are not beating the Celtics, and it's not going to happen. I hope they do, but I would be an enormous upset. And the other thing is the Celtics aren't beating the Cavs. I would be shocked. But they do have home court, so there is that. But that shows you how little the Cavs care about the Celtics because they didn't play their guys down the stretch because they're not worried about playing Boston, who they beat by 700 points in the last game of the year when it kind of mattered between the two.
I think we would both agree that the Cavs are most likely getting back to the finals. Nobody's going to beat them. But if there was a most difficult path, it would be Bulls in the first round, probably the Wizards in the second round, and then Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals against them. So I'll wrap it up here and just say that I'm going to be mad when the Bulls beat the Celtics because it's going to happen. And
that's the craziest
take I've heard.
You're going to be mad when if the 8 beats the 1 and it's our Bulls. If the Bulls win, how are you going to be mad? And there's
it's going to be great. I'm going to be super happy. But then that just guarantees that LeBron's going to be back in the finals.
No, it doesn't. Not anymore.
It so does. If I was in Vegas, I would put the mortgage that I'm not paying on a house that I don't have on the Cavs getting back there.
Luke, go to Vegas right now, or I'll pay for you to go and put a mortgage on. Put it all down that the Cavs are going to the finals. I don't care if they're playing the Celtics or the Bulls. No one in the East is beating the Cavs unless LeBron gets injured.
Oh, what about the Wiz?
No one is beating Cleveland until Golden State kills them.
Luke, I agree with you. Luke, is this animosity towards LeBron because of his arrogance that he showed the night that he made the decision to go to Miami?
Not at all.
I was watching, kind of hoping he would come to the Bulls. I don't care about that.
Is this a Michael LeBron competition thing for you? because that's what it is for me.
There's a little bit of that, but it's lesser of a Michael versus LeBron thing and more of other things.
Like what?
Just to name...
Bare your soul, Luke. Bare your sports soul right now. Go ahead. What is it?
Okay, I'll give you guys two things just because you guys probably want to get rid of me by now.
We do. But, quickly, go ahead.
Yeah, everybody does.
No, that's not
whoa,
true.
Whoa, lie down.
Let's not get into the drama. You're good. We just want to be fair to everybody. Go ahead, real quick.
Mike, okay. Don't hang up. We're coming to you next.
Okay, one thing is being... which probably a lot of people agree with me is that he's kind of a flopper and complainer and just, play and stop complaining and flopping. And he's not the only one. There are plenty of players in the league that do that, but he is our biggest rival, or at least my, personal basketball rival with respect to the NBA and the Bulls. So it kind of, that affects me more so than other players.
Right. And number two,
the second thing is not really about who he is as a guy. I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy, but there's evidence out there to tell me that his public persona is almost completely fabricated.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I'll just, stop there. You guys can look and do it yourself.
I got you, Luke. I got Luke, you. Appreciate you.
Luke, you are a therapist dream.
Everybody should be in therapy, Harry.
Oh, I love therapy.
Yes, we should stop the show and go right now.
Yeah, thank you, Luke. I appreciate the call. I can tell you this, Carm. Yeah. The night that LeBron made the decision with Pinocchio, and he told Pinocchio, "I'm taking my talents to South Beach."
Yeah,
I thought he was very arrogant. I thought he was really, for him to destroy. I can identify with Cleveland sports fans. Okay. For him to destroy the hearts of Cleveland sports fans publicly and say, if he were going to stay in Cleveland, I could see him doing the special. But for him to do that special and then say, well, I want to raise money for the girls and the boys club.
Millions of dollars.
Write a check. You got a gazillion dollars. Write a check. So I really did. I had disdain for LBJ that night. But he's won me over. He's a very good teammate. He has played through a very, rough situation with his old head coach. He has proven to be unselfish on the court, and he has done things to, like showing up in the Cubs uniform to pay off the bet with D. Wade when he came to Chicago. Hey, LeBron, I think, has, gone out of his way to sort of, reconnect with the fans.
I've always enjoyed LeBron as far as when I'm around him. He talks to the media every single game. He does pregame half the time. This matters to me. It's Michael-esque. He was also very giving of his time with the media and understood the game that way. He's also been in the spotlight since he was 14 years old and has never been in trouble once. How he handled the decision, sure, that wasn't great, but at the end of the day, let's get over it. And it also allowed me to do a radio show that night in Kansas City, the LeBron special, and it got a 20 ratings-wise, which pushed me on the map. So I want to thank LeBron personally for... it was great. Everybody wanted to know what LeBron was doing, even in Kansas City, which is not an NBA town. I mean, the Kansas City Kings have been gone for a long time.
I saw a Kansas City Kings game there.
Tiny Archibald.
Sam Lacy. Otis Birdsong.
I love Otis Birdsong. More on the Nets.
And the kid from North Carolina was great. Phil Ford. Phil Ford was one of the most spectacular rookies to ever play in the NBA.
Grobstein's on at midnight. Let's get Mike. let's get Mike in here on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Karen Panel, thanks for taking my call. I just want to go back to your question, the original question.
Yes.
About the Blackhawks losing, and you think that maybe some of the Blackhawks fans might be jumping on the Bulls wagon there. I don't think it's going to happen, Harry. It reminds me of a reverse role, like back in the 90s when the Bulls were
right. The
team, the franchise. Now I think Chicago is more of a hockey town than it is a basketball town.
Really?
I really do.
I have to say, I haven't been to a Bulls game in probably 15 years since the big change of the coaches and then you losing draft picks and this and that. And the Hawks have been on the roll, man. I can't see it any other way.
I
think the Blackhawks can come back.
So do I.
So
they've,
do I.
They've been down before in the last 5 years, and we've seen them come back. And I've told these guys on the radio, including probably you, Carmen, because you doubt a lot. You do. It's okay to doubt, but you
thanks,
know
Mike.
It's always a good thing to come back, and that's what we're looking forward to is a good comeback.
Mike, did you listen last year during the World Series? Who was the guy on the radio telling you they were?
I'm a Sox fan, brother. I'm a Sox fan.
Oh, okay.
Well, and yeah, I can't, you know, my wife is a Cubs fan. God bless her.
Ooh, a mixed marriage.
Last year, but huh?
Mixed marriage.
Mixed marriage. Yeah, I got the happy flag flying out front.
Yeah, you know, I gotta tell you, my daughter and you know, like teenagers, I think they're more into the Hawks. But Chicago is much more of a Bulls town than a Blackhawks town. I think that there is a trend coming the Hawks way, but it's cyclical. The two teams are cyclical.
I mean, come on, what can you say about three championships, Harry?
I love the Hawks. You should. I'm telling you, I love the Blackhawks. You don't have to sell me on the Hawks. I'm just telling you, you know, I worked for a radio station for a very long time that used to always say, you know, Bulls get better numbers than Hawks do because Chicago is more of a Bulls town than a Hawks town. You know, this has always been a Bears town. When Michael was here, it became a Michael town. But this has always been a Bears town first.
Right, absolutely.
Mike, appreciate the call, man.
I go back to all that, you know. I love listening to you guys. You guys are great. Thank you for sharing my Easter with me.
Thank you for sharing it with us, Mike. Appreciate your call. 312-981-7200. I'm not getting into Bulls versus Hawks.
It's not Bulls. Okay, I've got a half brother.
Yes.
Who is a diehard Bulls fan because when he was a kid growing up, the Bulls were winning championships. My daughter is diehard Hawks fan the rest of her life because as a kid, you know, early, you know, from, so she was, you know, like 9 when they won the Stanley Cup. So she's seen 3 Stanley Cup champions between 9 and 16. So she'll always be a Hawks fan. But in general, I think this town, even though the Hawks started 40 years ahead of them, I think it's a Bulls town more than it's a Hawks town. Doesn't mean that the Hawks aren't, you know, cooler. It's, you know, it's your opinion. It's what it is.
But greatest sports city in the country. Everybody loves Chicago. I mean, the fact that we support 2 baseball teams. You could add in a second football team here. I think we would support it. The Bulls have been selling out since Michael left in 1998, which is crazy considering the product they put on the floor. The Hawks, since they came back, have been the number one ticket in the entire NHL for, we're coming up on a decade now.
So great.
So, a lot of, I mean, end of the day, basketball is a more popular sport than hockey. There are more Bulls fans than Hawks fans. We know this, but I know that gets Hawks fans really angry. That's why I didn't want to go there, but I guess I just did.
What Rocky Wirtz has done, what John McDonough has done, what Jay Blanc has done, Pete Hasson now has brought in the Frozen Four. We just had how cool was that? The college championship of hockey, the Frozen Four was here. The NHL draft is going to be held here. There is so much. The Hawks are always in the outdoor game because they're so popular. We took a call last night with Sopel at like 12:45 from some guy in Alberta that loves his Hawks.
And people are texting, I think it's a Cubs town, which right now I'm in the biggest. Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. Cubs are now trailing the Pirates at Wrigley 3-1. It should be a 1-1 game, but Wilson Contreras did not hold home plate on a force play with the bases loaded. That allowed one run to score, and then they had a shallow fly ball to right field, and the runner at third stayed at third, but Hayward's throw was up the line, and Contreras was unable to smother it, knock it down. So that would be E9, and the Pirates lead 3-1. The Cubs on their way to getting swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. I find that to be particularly painful, hairy.
Well, I don't know if they'll get swept. There's still a lot of at-bats coming. And, of course, last year, we talked about it Friday night on the show. Filling in for Justin, who will be back this week. But the Cubs last year were 8-1 against Pittsburgh at home. This year, they've already lost twice. And last year, they were 14-4 against Pittsburgh on the season. 14-4, which is like the main reason the Pirates didn't go to the playoffs for the first time in a while. So you can bet that Clint Hurdle and the Bucks spent a lot of part of the offseason thinking, how are we going to beat the Cubs?
Is that what's going on right now? They just plan this out. Cubs aren't hitting, man. Just not hitting.
The pitching.
Although yesterday they hit, I take that back. They had 7 runs yesterday. Normally that would be good enough to win. Chris Bryant with 2 bombs.
Yeah, yesterday was weird because of the wind. The weather sort of aided the Pirates. I don't think they would have had 4 home runs if the wind wasn't blowing oot like that.
The bullpen too is getting a lot of work early in the year here. There's going to be some additions along the way, I would think. 312-981-7200. We're going to do a bunch of Blackhawks coming up after 4 o'clock. We'll hear from Brent Sopel. And I want to talk about the booing last night at the United Center. I did some deep soul searching.
Mm-hmm. Whose soul did you search?
Just my own. And I was thinking about why the booing matters to me to the level that it does. So we'll do that coming up right after 4 o'clock. But real quick, let's get Luke in here who wants to... You want to wager with us here, Luke?
Well, Luke,
yeah,
what's
your time? I think it's kind of unfair that...
Is this the same Luke?
Harry left a loyal listener off the radio... And I feel like you should owe me when the Bulls win the series against the Celtics.
Luke, you're the same gentleman that just called earlier?
I was, yeah, or I am.
What do you want to wager on this, Luke? What do you want to bet?
I don't know. I listen to WGN every day,
uh-huh.
And I feel like it'd be cool to visit the studios for
okay.
a couple minutes. I know
okay.
everyone's busy.
Great.
And here, how about this? If the Bulls lose, then there's not much I can offer you guys, but
well, sure there is.
I'll buy you guys a pizza from my favorite pizza joint.
Great.
In Illinois.
Great.
I'm cheering for the Bulls. Carmen's cheering for the Bulls. He just said he thinks the Celtics are going
to
win.
I'll take the bet. I'll happily lose to Luke and have him come into the studio if the Bulls win the series. Otherwise, you send us a pizza. Great. No problem. It'll be my treat, Luke. If the Bulls win, you're more than welcome, pal. That's the way we roll. You got it. All
Thank
right.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Luke.
See, it's just as easy as that, Harry.
I know, but I'm a straight Chicago voter. You know, my favorite. You know, there's a couple teams I like around the league, but I am a straight Chicago voter, and so I always want Chicago teams to win.
See, this is what happens though. Like, say you had an NCAA tournament pool, right?
Yes.
And you took the 8 seed to win the whole pool,
right?
And okay, and then they got, and it was at huge odds. And so we got down to the last game and they were still in it. You could hedge your bet, Harry. You could lock in some profit because you were all the way at the championship
game. Not a hedger.
Well, okay, right, clearly not.
Not a Brian hedger.
See, for me, that was a hedge. Like, great, if the Bulls win, I'll be thrilled. I'll be thrilled beyond belief. And the only thing I got to do for a Bulls win is to have Luke come in studio and say hi to us. That's a win-win. Would love to meet Luke.
Right, we're happy to meet Luke.
So there you go. Win-win, Harry. See, you got to see things with the rose-colored glasses. Everything is positive. It just depends on how you look at it. I am Mr. Positivity over here.
That's great, Peter Positive.
Yeah, you know that I'm being slightly sarcastic here, right?
Slightly?
I could thank you. All right, coming up after 4, we're doing a whole lot of Blackhawks here. I got some reasons for optimism for you, and I do want to talk about the booing and, you know, 3 Stanley Cups and the booze coming down after 1 bad start to a playoff series. Where's the loyalty?
And I just want to visit with Brent Sopel. My first chance to hang with the Brent Sopel. And I knew he'd be good. He was so good and so friendly. And I love the fact that he had time for everyone at the live broadcast yesterday. He had time.
He really did.
I mean, he had time. He didn't care if you were like the biggest sponsor at the station or if you were just some guy coming up to him saying, thanks for blocking shots, dude. Brent Sopel had time for everybody yesterday, and I loved that.
Signing and signing and signing. It was just cool to see so many people coming up to Brent. I loved that part of it, and he was great to everyone. That was super cool. So we'll talk to Sopey coming up after 4. The Blackhawks, of course, tomorrow night. down in Nashville, where tickets are super expensive.
Yeah, Judd's got your pregame at 8, the great Judd Surratt, and then 8:30, John Weiderman, Troy Murray, all the exciting action. I won't tell you how the Blackhawks win, but they do win the game, which starts at 8:30.
And going on right now, in case you're wondering, the Blues are leading the Wild 2-1, and the Blues lead that series right now, 2-0. So
Jake Allen.
Yeah, Minnesota's free fall from being the top seed in the Western Conference. Looks like they're going to be out quickly in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Subban dropping the puck to Johansson. Predator line. Sent it ahead to Fiala over the Hawk line. Left circle. Shoots. He scores. It's a power play goal. And the Predators now lead the game 5-0 with a minute 47 left on the clock.
It was a frustration to a different level. That wasn't fun to watch. I think you could look at it. You know, we dug ourselves a tremendous hole across the board. You know, not too many positives came out of tonight's game. And everybody was responsible. And it was, you know, from the coaches down to every single player. So we got to get out of this mess and hole. And, you know, we can play much better than that in all areas.
Coach Q, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. About to be joined by Brent Sopel. Brent _ Sopel on Twitter. Follow him. He's a great follow. You will learn things. So Jonathan Toews hasn't scored a goal in 11 playoff games. The last time he did was Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals against the Lightning. Patrick Kane hasn't scored a goal in 4 games going back to last year in the Blues series. So if you combine them, last postseason, Toews and Kane combined for 1 goal in the 7-game playoff loss to the Blues, right? And now we got 2 games here, so we're 1-9. That's just not good enough, is it, Brent Sopel? We need the stars got to come to play here. Is that a fair formula for Game 3? And by the way, good afternoon. Happy Easter to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, it's always good to talk to you. Brighten's my day, no matter what. Sunshine, shining. You know, you're my idol, so I love talking to you.
I need a hug, just so you know. Come on down.
At the end of the day, absolutely, your stars need to lead. And not lead in the dressing room. Now it's time to lead by example. Get on the ice and perform. And I'm not worried about the goal scoring. We need the effort. You know, that second and third effort, you know, take a hit to make a play. You know, if you get laid out, but you make that play, your teammates are going to see that and, absorb off that and roll from there. Take a shot, block a shot, do whatever it takes. You know, obviously you heard Joel Quenneville saying, you know, it wasn't good enough. You know, it was pretty ugly to watch. And really, that was really being nice because it obviously was terrible to watch. And the effort was nowhere to be found in these last 6 periods.
So, Brent, obviously, Coach Q and the boys are going to, you know, Coach Q and the staff are going to talk to the boys and tell them what they think. But what are the players talking about right now? I mean, they've all got to be so incredibly ticked off. What's going on with just the guys as they get ready for the game tomorrow night?
Well, they're frustrated. And, they're frustrated by what Nashville is doing to them. They're frustrated that they're down 0-2. They're frustrated that Pekka Rinne's got more points than the whole Chicago Blackhawks team. You know, they're frustrated on all levels. And, you know, this is where it goes back to, you know, the coaching staff. They got to put up a great game plan because the first two games, the game plans weren't good at all. So the coaching staff's got to come up with a really good game plan to get through that neutral zone, use that speed and skill. And then when they do that, then the players need to bring the energy. The coaches are going to do what they need to do. Now the players need to go out there and work. You know, as coaches, you know, you can drop the game plan, but at the end of the day, the players are one that are on the ice and have to execute that game plan and not even worry about anything else, execution, X and O's. You know, we just need an effort. You know, if they put an effort the way they know they can, they've done a million times, let the results speak for itself from there. If they put that, you know, those effort and the results, in my mind, you know, we'll end up in a series win. But we need to worry about no further than, you know, we can't talk about winning, you know, next 4 out of 5. All you have to worry about is winning the first 5 minutes in Nashville and hopefully get that lead. And when you play with the lead, it's a different hockey game.
Brent Sopel, Stanley Cup champion, former Blackhawk, also former Vancouver Canuck. He signed his Canuck jersey for Harry last night. Have you framed that yet there?
I framed it. I got $850 bucks for it on eBay. You can't, no, yeah, I'm gonna frame it. He's so didn't believe me when I told him that I had a jersey and I wanted it signed, and he was kind enough to sign it for me last night.
That was a beautiful moment in time. I tear did come to the eye. I thought I hit it well. Let's
you were sleeping. You had no idea. You were sleeping. That Hawks game put you to sleep.
We did have the Lou Malnati's pizza last night, so there was a moment of a food coma, and it was also a little bit Blackhawks induced coma as well. But we're moving forward, and I guess good news today, Brent Sopel, Ryan Hartman, no discipline. He's going to be available for Game 3 after his hit to Craig Smith late yesterday, which he got a roughing penalty and a 10-minute misconduct for, and it was really a play that I would think you would want back. So, but here's a guy who I'm wondering if he's going to be in the lineup period tomorrow, Soaps. Like, he's been struggling, and Q has shown in the past when you do things, especially young guys who are kind of unpredictable like this, you might not even want him in the lineup. What do you think?
Well, you know, go back to that beatdown in Florida. 7-0 loss to Florida, and it was all started by Ryan Hartman, you know, taking the penalty, then, you know, mouthing off the ref, putting them on a 5-on-3. Next game they played in Tampa, healthy, scratched him. Then he played well. You know, in playoffs, you gotta play along that line. Maybe dabble your toe over, you know, over that line. You know, get in guys' face. You can rattle guys. Do what you need to do. But the effort hasn't been there, and that was just, you know, a blatant, you know, cheap shot. Obviously, the league looks at every penalty. You know, thank God that they didn't you know, suspend him, because right now we don't know what Joel Quenneville's thinking. Now, who do you bring in? You put him out. You bring Thomas Yoko in, Desjardins or Hayden, or, you know, somebody else pumped up the fourth line. You put up Kiro. You know, so there's going to be a lot of line jugglings. There's a lot of question marks. Obviously, we know that Corey Crawford is starting Game 3, which is the absolute right decision. It hasn't been his fault. He's done his job as a goalie. All you have to do is do your job by keeping them in, letting your boys have an opportunity to win. And he's done that for the you know, absolute most part of this series. So it should be interesting. You know, the one thing is Joel doesn't like going with young guys. You know, he went through it this year. You know, you take a look at the ice time in, you're going through some of the game last night. You know, all the young guys weren't playing. So it'll be interesting to see how Joel rolls out, you know, those young guys. They're going to keep them in, trust them, because the only way you learn from mistakes is by putting them in that situation. And if this is the future of the team, you've got to let them make those mistakes along the way.
Soaps, we touched on it last night, but Pecorine, after the game, said that there wasn't one shot that he didn't see the entire way it was coming to him. So it's one thing to talk about. How do we make sure that there are bodies in front of the net, that there are deflections, that there are screens in front of 35?
Well, at the end of the day, it goes back to the exact same thing this whole time. It's work ethic. If you're not going to work hard, and if you're not going to outwill them and you're out battle them, you think about that third goal last night, Sisson's goal. You know, went to the front of the net, you know, basically steamrolled Rasmussen, stopped in front of the net, found that rebound, and put it in. You know, those are the things. They're getting outworked on all levels. That's exactly what the Blackhawks need to do. You know, the net's there. You just got to get there. You're going to have to fight your way there. You're going to have to take a cross check. You're going to have to bulldoze a guy. You're going to have to do whatever it takes to get there. So Pecorine is one of the best goalies, you know, in the NHL. You let them see every single shot, which they have done in the first two games. Now look what the results have been. So, you know, for me, not so much X and O's anymore. It's get out there, you know, strap the blades on, clear your mind, and really just work. Go, 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 nonstop.
Brent Sopel, who is dominating in his Easter, did a great job with some eggs this morning. Didn't you, Brent Sopel?
I would like to say that I did some awesome laundry and some meal prep.
There you go.
I got my kids here in a few hours.
There you go. That's all right. I like it. Here's a back to hockey question for you. When the Blackhawks have been in dire situations in the past, Coach Q goes nuclear option. Hey, Patrick Kane. Hey, Jonathan Toews. Why don't you two get out there together and show us why you're two of the greatest players in all of hockey? Could you see Q doing something like that in Game 3?
Yeah, definitely. It'll change the mindset of Peter Laviolette, you know, how he's going to react to that, who he wants paired up with different guys. And there's no question. The skill front, everything that comes along with your two best players, at this point in time, why not? Nothing's worked the first two games. Go ahead, throw them out there. Let them be the leaders that they are and take control of the game. And if it's going well, great. Then everybody else is going to follow because they're the two leaders.
It would be unfair to say that it was Corey Crawford's fault last night. You know, there might have been one goal that he would like to have back, but can Crow just put this team on his back last night and say no soup for you, Nashville?
Oh, you know, you could. You know, at any point in time, Corey Crawford's got the ability to steal a game, you know, steal a series. You take a look at that first goal from Ryan Ellis, a slap shot. Arvidsson's right in front of him. He can't see that. You know, we just talked about, you know, what the Hawks have to do. That was Arvidsson went in there, outworked everybody, got to the net, stopped, you know, screened Corey Crawford. So, yes, Corey has the ability to do it. You know, can he do it? There's no question about it. But I think I'm not worried about Corey in any facet. I'm more worried about the 18 skaters that have been skating in front of him.
Brett Sopel, appreciate you. We'll listen to you with Patty tomorrow night, 11 o'clock, right at, or no, it's a late one tomorrow night. So what time are you on tomorrow night, Brent? Do you know?
I don't know. Yeah, way past my bedtime, whatever that is.
Well, you're going to grind it out because that's what you do. That's why you're a Stanley Cup champion. So hopefully you'll be talking about a win, my friend. Happy Easter to you, sir. Good to be with you last night.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. One question for you.
Yeah.
What do we got? Celtics by 7? That's the line?
Seven and a half.
I'm taking the points.
7.5. Yeah. Ay. I'll take the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they'll play well today. There's a lot going on, and this is not the way I would want to bet it. But since you brought it up, I mean, Isaiah Thomas' his sister passed away in a car accident. One car accident.
Horrible.
I'm reading on Twitter right now. Brad Stevens is the Celtics head coach. He says, Isaiah Thomas is struggling, tragic circumstances. He's going to go through warm-ups. His intention is to play, but he's really hurt. It's a tough situation, and he's not sure if he's going to be able to go. That's just awful, but I do think it impacts today's game.
I tell you, the real money to be made here is you take Edmonton tonight at the Shark Tank.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Little Edmonton over the Sharks. You like that there, Soapy?
Yeah, I like Edmonton in the series overall. Uh-huh. And back to, Thomas, obviously, heart goes out to him and the family. But this actually could, really change the series for the Bulls. You know, we got some boys that step up and play the way they can. You know, you never know how Thomas is going to do. If he doesn't play tonight, is he going to play game two? It's going to be up in air for the next 2 weeks of how he's going to be. Is he going to be mentally there? You know, the window's open for the Chicago Bulls to do some damage.
And the Bulls, they got plenty of their own issues to deal with here. Let's see if they can handle the pressure of playoff basketball. It's interesting how Fred Hoiberg will do for his first shot at the NBA playoffs. Brent, appreciate it, man. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Brent Sopel.
Thanks, Sopes. Terrific.
Our guy. All right, quick timeout. I want to talk about the booing last night. And I had an epiphany that I want to bring to the airwaves, Harry.
Boy, you have found one of the hardest words in the English language to spell.
It is a tough one. You got naive under your belt there, no problem?
No, but when you mentioned doubt before, even though I'm a big fan of Gwen Stefani, I still always stumble. I still always have to take that 2 seconds whenever I type out doubt.
Really?
Yes, or write it. By the way, they don't teach penmanship anymore in schools. Did you know that? They don't teach cursive. My kids don't know how to write cursive.
Dan Long's putting his headphones on. He's got thoughts on this, I think. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of cursive hot takes. That was sarcasm. I was just putting my headphones on because I need a...
I thought there was something going on.
To listen to something. Now,
D-O-U-B-T, that's a tough one for you, Harry?
That is a tough one for me.
Interesting. See, like, I'm not a great speller, but there's this thing now that's, you know, called Google and the internet, and I just kind of...
Yeah, I know. Spell check.
Yeah, all that.
You know, spell check, though, messes you up when you're trying to do, you know, when you're doing something on one of the games.
So...
Because you want to tweet an athlete or text your buddy an athlete's name, and they redo it.
Well, but and for your son and cursive and all that, nobody writes anymore.
Should still teach it.
But nobody does it.
I guess why would they teach it if they don't?
I mean, it is nice for a nice handwritten thank you letter.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to show my kids a letter that I had received 25 years ago. And, you know, from Ralph Macchio. And they like, Dad, we don't know cursive. Why would we know cursive?
Oh, boy. That's a little rough. I mean, when I went to camp back in the day, I'd write a nice letter home. One summer. We're supposed to do it every day.
Yeah. I instead of writing a letter home, I would just, like, cut out words from different magazines. Like a kidnapper.
You are creative.
Uh-huh.
All right. Hey, quick timeout, 720 WGN. So the boos rang out last night at the United Center. Blackhawks losing to the Predators 5-0. And we did a post-game show last night from 11 to midnight. Great to be up late with you on a Saturday, Harry, and Brent Sopel as well. And we talked a little bit about it. And, of course, we got the reaction, hey, man, I paid my money. I can boo. I think you support that take, right, Harry?
I will never tell people that they cannot boo, but I did not appreciate the booing in the first period last night.
Right. So you're a Blackhawks fan.
I'm a lifelong Blackhawks fan.
Right. And I'm just saying in general, like, you're a Blackhawks fan,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You've seen the Cup come to town in 2010, in 2013, in 2015.
Saw them win 50 games this year. Second best point total ever.
Right. And it's game two of a 7-game series. And the Blackhawks are playing about as bad as they can possibly play. And you've paid a lot of dough. And you've got your girlfriend, your wife, your family, or your whatever. Doesn't even matter. Maybe you're by yourself.
Yeah.
You're standing 300 level. You took the time to get on down there and you came to see this game. And it's a huge day for you. And you want to see a victory. And so you're upset. So you decide that the Blackhawks are doing this to you, and you start booing. So I was kind of just sitting back this morning thinking, why does this bother you so much? Why does it crawl under your skin? Not that I'm losing sleep over it, but why does it bother you when people boo? And I kind of got into the life journey, Harry, where, like, everybody has their ups and downs. And we're all going through our own little battle, just like the Blackhawks are, in a very small sports department level type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when things go bad, that's when you need the most support. And that's when you need to keep your head up. And that's when you need to keep approaching the moment. And so when you just go into the boo mode and you're making it kind of all about you and you're getting all beat down instead of just bouncing back up and say, hey, let's go. Let's go. I'm not booing this team. They've given me so much joy, but B, period, it doesn't help them. And C, you know what? We got game three. We got game four. Even if they lose Monday night, I still think the Hawks are winning 4 games in a row.
I like that attitude.
Right. So it's the negativity around the booing where I guess, like, you know, maybe deep down, Harry, as I go into the real deepness here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes.
Let it out.
I've given up on my quest, whatever
you
it
personally.
Is. Yeah, like on the tennis court or something. Or maybe it could be a million different things. And so there's like a, like I can relate to the booing and the that reaction and the give up. And I don't want to do that myself, so I don't want you to do that for the Hawks. Did you follow all of that?
Yes. But my whole thing is you can boo.
Don't boo.
Just don't boo in the first period. Boo effort. You know, I mean, there's two kinds of coaches. There's the kind of coach that yells at you, and there's the kind of coach that puts his arm around you. And I always appreciated the coach that put his arm around you and said, all right, here's a better way to do it. So, you know, once it's third period and things are going wrong, and again, the Predators have out-hustled you, out-worked you, you know, outplayed you really in every aspect of that game. Penalty kill, power play, you know, 5-on-5. Then I can understand why you'd want to boo, but don't be booing them right away. I mean, this is a team didn't have their best goalie for 3 weeks. This is a team that didn't have Marian Hossa for a long time this season, and they still played phenomenal. And they've got a core of guys that are going to go out there and you know, try to bring this thing home. So just don't.
News coming right up, 312-981-7200. Just don't. Just don't. If you were booing last night and you want to join the show, because you felt like it was your right, or maybe you were booing at home, and you just, hey, man, it's my right, man. I'd love to have that conversation. 312-981-7200. News coming right up with Veronica, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Easter Sunday. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's crushing a Sam's Club chocolate chip cookie. He offered it to Dan Long. Long denied.
I mean, are you turning it down because you're looking down the end of your nose that it's a Sam's Club cookie?
No, I'm turning it down because I had a cookie for breakfast on my way out the door, and I have a cap for how many cookies I would prefer to eat in a day.
The cookie cap.
A cookie cap.
Stan Bowman thinks he's got a tough cap to deal with. I've been there with you, Dan Long, producer extraordinaire. The cookie cap is tough.
I'm turning it down because it's a Sam's Club cookie.
Let me tell you something, Carm. Sam's Club makes a delicious chocolate chip cookie.
Do they really?
Yeah. They got an oven. They got a guy who's employed to bake chocolate chip cookies. Why don't you try one before you knock it?
See, if I'm going cookie, I'm going for an upper-level cook. I'm going for a freshly made cook.
Like Insomnia cookies?
I've never had an Insomnia cookie, but I'd go like Whole Foods into their cookie collection. They got a nice double chocolate situation going on. I would walk into a DoubleTree hotel and get
they're
a cookie.
All, but they're all male cookies. I like female chocolate chip cookies.
What does that mean?
No nuts.
Oh, come on.
DoubleTree.
Doesn't
what
matter.
A great not, idea. No, not what ever. A great idea. Here, we're handing you chocolate chip cookies. As go up to your room and enjoy, but then don't shove nuts in my cookie.
You need a no-nut cookie.
But, yeah.
Well, you know, that's just that you're too high maintenance with your cookie. Unless you're allergic to nuts, then I feel bad.
Not allergic. Just I want my nuts separate. You know, I've got really. I'll have cashews, like a bowl of cashews. Great snack. Wonderful. But I don't want the cashews in the cookies. Or like one time out to dinner with a friend, and he ordered Chinese for everybody, and everything had cashews in it.
Did your parents let you eat whatever you wanted to eat when you were a kid?
Take a look at me.
you don't look like that anymore, man. You've lost a lot of weight. All right, let's get back on track here.
Yes.
The Blackhawks got booed last night a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And they played their worst game of the year, one of their worst games of the year. Certainly the worst game they've played in the playoffs in probably, I don't know, 7 years. However, the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup in 2010 and 2013 and 2015, and many of the same players that were on those teams were on the team that was playing last night. And so you're sitting there, or you're sitting at home, and you're booing these guys. It's not right, man. It's just not. I don't care if you paid $100 for a standing room ticket or $500 to sit down low or whatever it is. There's no win there. And deal with the fact that things don't always go your way in life. You don't just lash out with the boo. That's my take.
You know, I've been going to sports since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I love the Chicago teams. I think you boo when a guy forgets how many outs there are.
Like he forgot.
Like Milton Bradley, okay? I think
Milton
boo.
Milton Bradley deserved to be booed.
Right. I think you boo when a guy doesn't run out a grounder. I think you boo when a guy gets outworked, you know, when he's not hustling.
Hawks were getting outworked last night, Harry. Should they have been booed?
Not in the first period, no.
Okay. All right. Well, those are all fair reasons. I get it, but particularly with the Blackhawks and hockey players who always are 99% of the time are giving their maximum and they're all, it's hard to hear. Let's get Tom in here, 720 WGN 312-981-7200. What's up, Tom? Tom? T-Dog? T-Dog, no.
Thanks for playing, Tom. We'll mail prizes to you.
You can, for a copy of Tom's call, you can go to tom@tom.com. Rennie, what's up? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, I was at the game last night, and you don't boo a three-time cup champion.
Thank you, Rennie.
If it was the Washington Capitals, maybe, but not the Hawks. But anyway, I left 5 minutes early, and then I saw what I thought was a perfectly good game jersey lying on the lawn. And I picked it up. It was a Jonathan Toews jersey, ripped right down the middle from the V through the sacred Indian head.
Are you serious?
And I am not kidding.
Where was
perfectly
this?
Legit. It was on the lawn. I was walking back out to my car.
The lawn? Where's the lawn? I don't even know where the lawn is.
The sidewalk on the way.
There's some grass. There's some grass there, okay. Depending on what side of the building you come out of.
Oh, I get it. Right, yeah, on the right side on Madison. Okay. Okay. Yep. I know what you're talking about.
So, you know, first of all, you don't rip a perfectly good jersey. Right. You don't tear the Indian head. I don't get any of that. And what was this guy on? Because it's pretty tough. Can you imagine trying to rip one of those down the middle? I can't.
I have trouble when I'm
pretty PO'd.
Well, Chris Sale was pitching yesterday for the Red Sox, so that would.
So he's clear. He looked good, Chris Sale.
He did look good.
2-1 winner. You know, I have trouble sometimes with the pre-baked cookies, you know, like we're just tearing them up and they're already, like, you know, perforated, and I can't do that. Now, that's insanity. That's, you know, I can understand in the moment getting angry and, yelling something. But, I'm yelling, come on, get your butt going, you know, let's go. Don't let them get past you like that. I'm not booing, and I'm certainly not booing in the first period when it's still, you know, good chance the Hawks are going to come back. Hawks got outplayed in the first period in game one. And in second and third period, the Hawks carried the action.
Toews hasn't scored, though, in 11 playoff games. Let's rip his jersey on the way
out.
Jonathan Toews?
That's stupid.
He's going to the... I mean, are you kidding?
Hall of Famer.
That's bad.
Thanks, Rennie. Appreciate you.
Yep.
312-981-7200. Mike is pro-booing. Welcome
By the way, there's no V in Toews, so he couldn't have...
That's true.
He couldn't have ripped it on the V. Maybe the W. Looked
right.
Like a V.
He's talking about the V neck.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
I am very compassionate about what the last caller said. That is not the way to handle yourself, you know, as a Hawks fan or any kind of fan, is ripping up a jersey or anything like that. But I did see Joe Quenneville not acting, getting Crawford's ass off the rink, putting in Donnie.
Which goal was Corey Crawford's fault, Mike?
I think there were two soft goals early on in the second, and they were kind of breakaway goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were kind of soft. And I felt that in order to get your team going and change the direction, it should have come from a coach. It should have.
Well,
I took my Bears brick and I threw it at my TV. You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
Bears brick.
Yeah, I understand. See, you know, Steve, I could see where somebody would boo the Bears quicker than they would boo the Blackhawks. Sorry, Mike.
Well, you know, it was frustration, you know, and not seeing a change coming into the third period. That's my frustration. Well, you know what I mean?
Mike, do you think it's possible that he didn't make that move because that would take, you know, pressure off the 18 guys that were playing? Like, okay,
no,
it's...
I think there needed to be a change, and there was no subtle change other than throwing in Kane with Toews at a certain point in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think that was enough because they weren't doing anything. I mean, they hadn't sparked anything in the first two periods anyways. You know, I personally think the legs have gone on Campbell.
He was out there forever. That was like a 66-second shift. I don't want to get too into hockey here, but that was a very elongated shift. Brian Campbell should not have been out on the ice that long. Any defenseman who's out there for more than a minute on one shift.
Brian Campbell has been making bad passes all year.
Brian Campbell has been an addition to this team. You know, and he gave you a hometown discount. Panthers offered him $5 million more.
I love Brian Campbell, but he has been more of a handicap here than he is been a help.
I will choose to disagree.
I love him as a guy.
Mike, if you don't like soup in a sandwich, we got a problem, buddy. Thanks a lot, pal. Appreciate you.
You know,
there's a pro booer.
I think one of those goals in the second period, you might want to say, well, Crawford could have gotten it.
I mean, listen, he's not playing at an elite level. But I think the point that Q was making, at least around Crawford, particularly late when he could have made a change. Hey, this ain't on the goalie. This is on all of you. Whoever, what you're doing in front of Corey and how you're attacking the Predators 1-4 and everything else. I didn't think you wanted to make Corey a scapegoat. Hey. This ain't about what's going on between the pipes. It's what's going on.
Right. Agreed.
So, all right.
And plus, the guy's had great success when he gets the blender out and starts mixing and matching his lines.
That's, well, and we're going to need some cue magic coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be real. 312-981-7200. You pro-booing, you anti-booing. The Blackhawks getting booed. The Blackhawks. The Chicago Blackhawks. The prideful Blackhawks that play on the station. And it's got nothing to do, by the way, that they're playing on the state. Booing in general, like I can remember going to Wrigley way back in the day, mm-hmm. sitting in the bleachers, Bob Dernier out in center field.
Bobby D
getting crushed in 1985. How are you going to feel when you pick up your paycheck, Bobby? I mean, I'm like an 11-year-old kid. It just feels gross.
You know, in 1985, the Cubs lost because they had their entire pitching staff get decimated. And the Reds last night lost their fourth pitcher. They've already got three starting pitchers on the DL. But, okay, I understand your point. Your point is...
As a kid, I didn't like it. I don't like it as an adult. That's my point. I just don't... And sometimes I will devolve, is how I would put it, and I lose myself.
Devolve?
Yes.
Is devolve a word?
I think it is. Devolving, you're not evolving, you're devolving. It's the old devolve.
I inferred what you meant, but...
You imply the dissertation of the direction of the decipheration?
The speaker implies, the listener infers.
Devolve. Is that a word? It does come up, devolve.
Look at you.
Listen,
transfer or delegate power to a lower level.
That's right. That's exactly what I was doing. I don't want to do that. But sometimes I will boo, and then I'll look myself in the mirror like, dude, get a grip. Come on, man. These guys are there are very few players that I think truly deserve a boo. Milton Bradley, who you mentioned earlier, was one of them.
Because of the stupidity that came out of his mouth, just because of the alleged racism. That was just...
No, he was a terrible teammate.
He didn't know how many outs there were in an inning.
Right.
Okay, I think that you boo that.
And I think when people boo the Bulls, they're not booing really the players. I think it's a boo at Gar, it's a boo at Pact, it's a boo at management. So that's like a different feeling. The Blackhawks, they're not booing management right now. They're I wouldn't think. That'd be crazy. So who are you booing? You're booing Patrick Kane?
You're
booing John Taves?
No.
You booing Brent Seabrook?
No.
You booing Marian Hossa?
No, I love Hossa. He's my favorite guy on the team.
Steve, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Steve. You got me?
I got you, Steve. We got you, pal. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, I could talk all day Blackhawks. That's a good conversation. I'm joining you guys. But just give you a quick background. My dad and I used to go when I was a kid. So I now still wear my away jersey for Bobby Hall, wear the white one, because that's used to see him on TV in the white jersey. So my mom got me that one. She's a big fan, too. And well, I was season ticket, blue line in the stadium and such, and I've seen the changes over the years. But I guess what I get to the point is the booing. You look around you at the game, and the people that are there do not know the game. You know, the crowd has been inundated. It's a social event now. It's a social event. You get filet mignon in the lobby. You got promotions everywhere. And I appreciate the old school thing that when the old man passed, I mean, we used to give him a hard time in the parking lot all the time. But when his son took over, he did a noble job of revamping the team and finding guys for long term. That's great. I appreciate that. And we all understand the frustration. We paid a lot at work. We worked all day to go to that game. We want them to work. No matter, you know, we don't want to see prima donna. So I get it. But the fans that start booing are like you and I, where we slip up a little bit, boo. And then there's the tag-along, the people that are there for the social event. And that's what happened. I look around at the national anthem. It's not what it used to be. People are watching other people during the national anthem like it's something to look at instead of be a part of. And the people there don't know the game. I'm up there saying, check them, hit them. We can do that too. Things are, sound stupid, but you're more intelligent of the game, and the people don't know the game. They're there on a date.
Well, Steve, hang on one second. Let me just jump in here because you are speaking for a lot of people out there right now. And my vision for you, Steve, is that you are a leader at the United Center. Where do you sit?
Well, I used to sit blue line. I mean, our tickets were 10, 12. We sat right by Harry. Hey, Harry, how much time left in the period? That was my friend. And you go out to Rockford now, which is great. I get tickets out there all the time with my kid. We go out and watch the Rockford game. But everybody does that out there now. And I'm like, son, we started that 30-some years ago. But in any case, now I get wherever I can. I happen to get some tickets from a friend, which was great.
Okay,
300 section, first row, 300, 305.
Okay, so you're not a season ticket holder. So just when you go, then
I'm not. No, I can't afford it now. I got kids.
right. But okay. So, but I just when you go, man, you can teach. You can impact the crowd. You can. There's, people are saying stuff behind you that is wrong. You can turn around and say, hey, the reason why that's going on is X, Y, Z. And then all of a sudden, it starts mushrooming throughout the crowd, Steve, and you are the conduit to a better Blackhawks.
Oh, my goodness.
You're teaching them, man. What's wrong with that, Harry?
It's not his responsibility to teach. Here's what I'll say.
I'm not saying it's his responsibility, Steve, I
identify with you. I identify with
so
you.
So do I.
And as much as I love these Hawks that have brought us 3 Stanley Cups, my favorite group of Hawks, stopped playing centuries. I still get goosebumps when I see Cliff Coral walking walking down the corridor at the United Center, good old number 20. But I think it's unfair to generalize, to cast everybody. I think that a lot of corporations, a lot of businesses own the suites. I think that, instead of 4 buddies owning a suite, a law firm owns it. Or, another business owns it. And so you're going to get people in there that are not diehards, that are socializing instead of noticing the nuances of the game. It's unfair. It's unfair because there's so many people in there that know exactly what's going on. So it's unfair just to paint with your broad brush to say that, people don't know the game.
It's drastically changed. There's still plenty of people who do know the game that have good things to say or good criticism, and they can say it in a decent way. And there are still out there, but it's not like 20 years ago, even when Tony Amonte is playing and such. And there were some teams in the 90s that had a lot of potential that let us down. And we booed, and the old man, I think the old man deserved to be booed. Nowadays, I think teams work pretty hard. I wouldn't have booed him, certainly not in the first period. I wouldn't do that. And I do look around and see people that just are on their phones the whole game. They're socializing. They're there to be seen. They're there.
It happens everywhere. It happens in basketball, in baseball, in football. It happens every city in America. It's unfair. Just because one, lawyer does something illegal doesn't mean that all lawyers do illegal things. Just because one horse trainer cheats doesn't mean every horse trainer in America cheats.
Steve, great call. We appreciate it. I mean, just to relate to Steve for one more second.
Yes.
I saw that happen with the Bulls. In 84... If we're going back, you could sit anywhere when it was Michael's rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly in 85 when he broke his foot. And then even in 86, they weren't completely selling out until about maybe like 10 games into the season. And then it was over. And then the prices went up. And then the whole thing changed, which is what's happened to the Blackhawks.
Okay, you mentioned Michael. Can we come back? Can we just give Michael a little love?
Because sure.
Because not only is he the greatest basketball player ever.
Sure.
But not only...
We can do the whole rest of the show on if you like.
I'm Jewish, so I don't want this to be taken like as I'm mocking. But Jordan rose on Easter Day, okay? Easter Sunday, Michael Jordan just gave Chuck Daly more than Chuck Daly could handle.
There we go. I can't even focus. 720 WGN.
Smithies, are they booing me?
No, they're saying. Boo Earns. Boo Earns.
Are you saying boo or boo Earns?
Boo! was saying Burns.
Mr. Burns deserved to get booed. It's actually a good topic. Who deserved to get booed that played in the city?
How about who deserves to get booed? Doesn't have to be an athlete. Trump deserves to get booed.
Boo!
I mean, I don't mean to be political, but there I go.
312-981-7200. This is a text line extravaganza. Who deserves to get booed? Booing. All right. By the way, the Cubs lost to the Pirates 6-1. The only reason why I'm bringing it up again, A, you could just be joining us. B, do you remember what the Cubs' record was at the start of last season when they finally lost their sixth game?
They were awesome. Like 24-6.
25-6.
25-6.
They're 6-6. It's a new year.
Right. And the Pirates, they owned the Pirates. Beat them 8-1 at Wrigley and beat them 14-4 on the season. And now Pittsburgh's up 3-0.
Yep. All right, 1 hour to go. Bulls start their playoffs at 5:30. Harry's got a tribute to MJ because it's Easter Sunday and some of his greatest games came on Easter Sunday. And there's a movement in the NFL from the referees, which is super cool. We'll hit that coming up in a minute, too. 720 WGN.
Bounce pass to Mike Brown, low right, in on Green, had the ball knocked away, Brown got it back, tried for a layup, missed it, ball tipped off to Jordan, Michael inside, scoop, no, rebound battle underneath, knocked around, still loose on the floor, Jordan gets it, and jams it with both hands, Michael Jordan drew the foul on the two-hand dunk on Sid Green, Jordan said, look, let me put an end to this foolishness.
Enough is enough.
The great Jim Durham, Johnny Red Kerr, both who have passed on. That's hard to say.
It is.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Should we have a moment on every show where Jordan is celebrated with a play-by-play call from Jim Durham? Would that be a bad idea?
It's brilliant. That's genius.
I wouldn't mind another text poll on that one, 312-981-7200, if we should play a mic, or is that overkill? But there's, you know.
No.
We could do that till the end. Actually, we don't need a poll. We're just going to do it. You want to just do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. Every time you're in, we're doing that, Harry.
Yay.
All right. So you wanted to bring up April 3rd, 1988, huh?
It was Easter Sunday, 1988. And it was a big day for Bulls fans. It was a big day for me personally because the girl I was dating at the time, Sky, we went to short for Skylar. We went to Easter brunch and we came back and we were having fun. We were partying in the afternoon. You know, there were no
clothes.
There were no kids. At some point, there might have been no clothes. Well. For her, anyways.
I
didn't want to decrease my chances.
You wanted to wear your hat?
I was in my David Greenwood jersey.
A la Santo? Okay.
Right. So Chuck Daly and the Pistons were the team to beat. And Michael Jordan went into Detroit. This is when Horace and Scotty were rookies. And Jordan was shooting that day, Carm?
21 of 27. That's 78%.
21 of 27. That's absurd. And they had guys draped on him. They had guys draped all over him. This is when Chuck Daly said, oh, man, the Jordan rules. This is, how are we going to stop this guy? Michael Jordan was awesome on Easter Sunday. It was a game that back and forth the entire way. And in the end, the Bulls won by two because Michael Jeffrey Jordan had 59 points in Detroit. Sorry, Bill Laimbeer. Sorry, Isaiah Thomas. Michael just burned you guys on Easter Sunday.
If anybody remembers that game or that day, 312-981-7200, one of my favorites. He only dunked the ball one time. It was a left baseline drive, and he whapped it. I don't want to say it was late third quarter. 21-27 from the field, 17-19 from the free throw line, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Looking at this box score, Dave Corzine played 41 minutes.
Love Dave Corzine.
That's crazy that Doug Collins had Dave Corzine out there 41 minutes. Call Doug Collins, get him on the line, get Chris Collins on the line. How could Dave Corzine ever be playing 41? That being said, their backup center at the time was?
Oh, Granville.
Granville Waiters, who got in for all of 4 minutes, apparently.
Number 31.
Must have gone small for 3 minutes there with maybe Horace at center. Pax was off the bench for 13 minutes. He was 2 of 4. Your starting point guard that day?
Sam Vincent.
Sam Vincent. of Michigan State, was a Celtic, and then he came to the Bulls 9 of 20 for 18. Charles Oakley was still a Bull, 35 minutes. Why am I reading this box score? I don't know, but I find it fascinating.
The point was, Michael Jeffrey Jordan had so many great moments. People remember, you know, the 6 3-pointers against Portland, the shrug. You know, people remember him, you know, taking Russell down in the last second in Salt Lake City. This was the greatest player in NBA history. We're talking a lot, you know, these last few days about the NBA MVP. You know, how do you compare Russell Westbrook's triple-double, averaging a triple-double? No one's done that in, you know, 40-some years since Oscar Robertson did it. And Russell Westbrook did it, and Karim makes the case that, well, it doesn't matter because he's not the MVP. You want it to be...
I'd give it to James Harden. They won more games. Nobody expected the Rockets to do anything this year. They were a, at best, 500 team. Houston, by the way, they're playing tonight, which is that's going to be a great game.
That will be a good game.
8 o'clock. The Rockets, you know, the Rockets won 55 games. They were predicted to win less games than the Thunder. The Thunder were expected to do exactly what they did, which was go 47-35. Houston won 8 more games. If you look at the numbers, too, James Harden had 23 triple doubles. So it's not like he wasn't throwing up triple doubles. He only averaged 2 less rebounds, yet he won 8 more games. And I would argue, and he was much more effective shooting the basketball too. His efficiency rate, which is a big thing here nowadays, as we you know, look at the numbers more and more, that does matter.
I understand it matters, and Harden's great, and I bet the Thunder wishes they had never given him away to the Houston Rockets. And you could also make a case for LeBron.
Harden averaged more assists per game by almost an assist. Westbrook averaged more points by 2.5, but that equals out because one more assist, 2 points, was basically nothing. And then it's 10.7 rebounds to 8.1. So we're talking about 2.6 rebounds. I'm not making my decision.
No one's done it since Oscar Robertson did
that's,
it.
It's great.
He did it.
He's phenomenal. He's
right.
Fantastic. I love Westbrook. I love watching him. If I could have any player in the entire NBA just handpick who I could have on the Bulls to watch for 1 year, I'd probably take Westbrook outside of having LeBron. But I mean, I love the guy.
Right, and also you can make a case for. I know there's somebody at the station that would like to make a case for the Spurs, right, Leonard?
Yeah, but, you know, Krista's a little bit out
of... But the point is Michael Jordan is the greatest player ever. He's hands down the greatest player ever, and if you don't believe what we're telling you, go YouTube it. Go YouTube this game, or just pick any random game of Michael Jordan. He had double digits. You know, he broke Kareem's record of consecutive games with double-digit scoring, and this game particularly stands out to me, Easter Sunday of 88, because it was against the Pistons, and it was, you know, back in those days, you know, not every team, every game was on TV. So this was the game of the week, and Michael was unbelievable.
Did you say 63 against Portland? It's 773's texting in. Obviously,
no, I said 6 threes.
6 threes.
He had 63 against the Celtics on April 20th, 1986, if you really want me to geek out.
Final score of that game? Let's see how...
Boston won.
135-131.
Okay, so I'm...
So I'm matching your geekness.
Yes.
I want to show you that I can geek with you.
We're going from the beat to the geek. But the point is that... Michael Jordan had so many great games. This one sticks out to me, and it's Easter Sunday. So I was going to mention it to Carm, and then he sends me this whole YouTube video of Jordan. You know,
my morning, I had 7,000 things to do today, different tasks. And then I end up on a YouTube with Mike, and then that's a 10-minute right down the hole. I'm not going to not watch the whole game. It just happens.
Bang down the well it goes.
I don't know how it happens, but it happens. 7 days, 7 baseball games on WGN TV. Watch every day through April 19th for a White Sox or Cubs game, only on WGN TV, where Chicago's very own Play. Cubs did lose today, the Pirates 6-1, and the White Sox are in action right now up in Minnesota. And last I checked, it was 1-0 Twins. Double checking right now, if we're still the same score, 1-0 Twins, top of 7. All right, let's take a quick timeout. Bulls and the Celtics coming up at 5:30. The NFL, the referees are actually doing something that I think everybody would like, the head of their referees specifically. So we'll talk about that next. 720 WGN. I'll go down there with you, by the way, over to Water Tower, check out Oppie's work.
I've heard it's great. I've heard it's spectacular. I'll go down there.
I mean, I probably can't afford any of it, but I would look, take a picture on my cell phone. Are you allowed to do that type of stuff at those things? Harry's up dancing. Is this like a famed artist or something?
Oh, do you think?
Is this like Bruce Springsteen or something?
It's like Bruce Springsteen. Out of respect for the listeners, and because I want to get invited back, I will not sing.
Did you request this?
No. Dan Long said, let's get some Bruce juice going.
There you go, man. Is Bruce your number one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my kids I like more, and then Bruce, and then my mom and dad, and then the rest of my family, and brother Danny and sister Nancy. And Bruce Springsteen is great. We talked with Steve Johnson of the Tribune about the Rolling Stones exhibit,
yeah.
which we have to go see. Do you want to go with me to that?
Sure, let's do it.
Exhibitionism at Navy Pier. And he just raved about it. He wrote about it, and I want to see the Stones. The Stones are like the first rock and roll band that I fell in love with. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band is simply the greatest live performance that I could ever see. He does 3.5 hour shows, man. Guys do half of that and take their check and go. Bruce Springsteen, this September 23rd, will turn, this is insanity when I say this, but Bruce is going to turn 68. And the guy's doing 3.5 hour shows, and he's going all over to Europe, and he's going to Australia. And when he was in Australia, he did a different Australian artist every night, a song of theirs.
That's why you gotta just stay after it, Harry. I'm sure Bruce is doing a ton of things.
So by 68, I could do something. Yes.
There you. Hey, life is hopefully long, and there's a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I hope
for
so.
There, right?
But the time is now.
Well, sure, absolutely. Okay, let's pay off this NFL tease. Okay?
It was a very good tease and a great, great story.
Yeah, so here's the story. The head of the NFL Referees Association. We need your input here, because maybe they're listening. Scott Green, he was on Sirius XM NFL radio, and he said that on-field officials, this is the head of the NFL Referees Association, let that sink in for a second, the head guy, okay, he's in charge of all the refs, he said that the league office is putting officials in a difficult situation with trying to figure out where the line is between a celebration that deserves a penalty and one that can be permitted. Okay, now, by the way, I'll give you the very easy line on this. If it actually delays the action, then it should be a penalty. If it doesn't, then not. If you go on for days and days back there and we can't snap the football and kick the extra point, okay, well, then that's too long. But if you go in the end zone, you do a little shimmy, a little dance and everything, and we can move along, then that's the line, period, end of story. But getting back to what he's doing, Green said that officials would prefer to eliminate penalties and instead enforce any celebration issues with fines, being like, hey, man, NFL, you got problems with celebrations. You want to look at replays of everybody who scored every Sunday and take your time doing that, and you want to fine Alshon Jeffrey if he ever gets into the end zone for the yeah. Philadelphia Eagles.
For the one touchdown.
Yeah, then go ahead and do it. But we don't want to have to do that on the field and make that determination. And for me, I don't think it should impact the game. There shouldn't be 15 yards on a kickoff. It's ridiculous. And another thing, I want to see players express. It makes the game fun.
Yes. These guys are athletes. They sacrifice at a level that we have no concept of. Since they were kids, and they work out and they control what they eat. And then they work out some more, and then they practice, and they get their heads beat, and they do whatever it takes to get ready for Sunday. And if they're good enough to make high school, to make college football, to make it into the NFL, this guy goes on to say that, if you had an 80-yard return for a touchdown, against an NFL team, you'd want to celebrate. So I think you can throw a flag at taunting. Taunting is just stupid.
See, I'm pro-celebration everywhere, by the way.
I'm pro-celebration everywhere, too, you know?
We walk out of the show, we had a good show, you want to give me a high five? Great.
Confetti cannon.
Sure, exactly. You're at work, you're a sales guy, you make a sale, do a little dance at your desk.
Make a little love.
Absolutely. You want to act like you've been there before and not say anything and keep it to yourself, that's cool, too. And you'll probably get jealous, by the way, the other sales guys when they're celebrating. But maybe that'll motivate you to want to celebrate, too. Celebration can actually up the level of people around you.
Yes, yes, I agree. And I also think, you know, one of the hardest things in the world to do is when you lose, to go over and shake hands and congratulate the person that won, the person that beat you. And Isaiah Thomas didn't want to do that, by the way. But for the NFL head of referees to say that they don't want to throw a flag on celebrating because they get how happy these guys are when they score a touchdown, you know, I'm with them. Now, sometimes I'll be watching a game and a team is down 30 points, and like the Bears, and a guy will get a sack like the Bears, and he'll celebrate. And I'm talking about one guy in particular, but he jumps in the air and he hurts his leg. You know, that
Lamar Houston?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going there.
Right.
So, you know, I think there are times when you don't need to celebrate. You're down, you know, 20-some points and you get a sack. You're supposed to get sacks. That's your job. But you don't make the refs throw a flag every time a guy celebrates a touchdown because we like seeing the emotion.
Yeah, his quote that you were referencing, nothing is worse than when someone goes 80 yards for a touchdown and then we're trying to figure out, does that warrant a flag and what he's doing in the end zone? We really don't enjoy that. If we could get to a point where it would be simply be fines by the leagues, that would be great. And the issue we still have is that guys can get pretty creative out there. The question whether it's a foul or not a foul, hopefully we'll get closer to more of a black and white situation. I mean, now, people are texting in, 630 texting in, Walter Payton did it best. Listen, I think it's totally cool that you have different guys. Some dudes, they go right into the end zone like Payton, and they just give the ball to the official. That's their thing, which is super cool.
Walter Payton. Walter Payton.
Right.
We're talking about Michael Jordan and Walter Payton this half hour. This might be my favorite show.
34 gets a reference. Now, there's a lot of guys, you know, you can go new school, who just give the ball to the official. That's what they, you know, they're new school, old school.
Right. Victor Cruz doesn't.
Right, and do I want to see Victor Cruz do a little shimmy shake? Am I paying attention if I'm watching SportsCenter or whatever, or if I'm just strolling through the internet? I watch that stuff. It's fun. Why can't we have a little fun here? It's sports. Come on, man.
Do you remember Joe Horn?
Yes, Saints.
Saints wide receiver number 87 scored a touchdown on a Sunday night game against Jesse Palmer's Giants, and he pulled a cell phone out from the pad right that protects the goalpost.
Yeah, made the call.
Right, made the call. Now, that to me is a little too...
I thought it was hysterical.
It was hysterical, but I mean, it was pre-staged. You know, he thought about it. I wouldn't throw a flag on it. I give him points for creativity. But when they throw a flag on some guy that just, you know, recovered a fumble and went 70 yards, or some guy that, you know, made a great play for a touchdown, don't do that.
And I, the NFL, I've heard Roger Goodell talk about this. We want to make sure the way we're reflecting ourselves is, you know, in a positive way. And we got different ages of people watching us, from kids going all the way on up to grandmas. And, you know, how our image is incredibly important. The fact that your guys enjoy playing the game, it's beautiful. And if you want to have an issue with, you know, throat slashes and all that, I get it. No taunting, fine. But celebration? Come on, man.
Yeah, and for Roger Goodell, I'll quote the great, late great Michael Jackson. If you want to make the world a better place, look at yourself and make a change.
When it's time to change. A little Brady Bunch out of nowhere for you. All right, so that was the NFL story.
Yes.
Scott Green. I applaud you, Scott Green, of the NFL Referees Association. Way to step up there. And that's a dangerous position for him, right?
That is, yeah. And I hope that Roger Goodell hears him. And it's obviously something that he's talked about with the referees. And I've heard other refs mention it. So, I mean, to me, that's great. That's awesome.
Really cool story from Anthony Rizzo coming up after 5:30. Rizzo is just such a leader, man. I got so much respect for that guy. He did a great thing off the field, and he honored the young man this weekend at Wrigley. So we can talk about that after 5:30 with you until 6 o'clock. And I'm not going to go too far here, but the Bulls game does start at 5:30. You do not need to go anywhere. I will aggressively keep you up to date on what's going on with the Bulls game. Is that wrong, Harry? You look disappointed.
No, I just...
What? You don't think I should mention the Bulls game's coming up?
I'm riding shotgun with you, buddy. Yeah. Bulls fans know that it's there. I mean, I think that...
I just want to let them know that we're going to keep everybody up to date.
So they don't need to listen to it. And I don't even...
Right.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I'm not sure that the game is even broadcast in Chicago on radio.
Sometimes it's hard to... Never mind. 720 WGN 535. Hope you're having a great Easter Sunday, great weekend. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tino. It's Dan Long producing the program. Bulls about to get underway in Boston. We'll keep you up to date if anything happens there. Isaiah Thomas is going to play. Tragic loss of his sister over the weekend in a one-car accident. A tragedy happened here, too, although it's turning out to be, I guess, a slightly positive story. Very cool what Anthony Rizzo has done. In February, a young man by the name of Henry Semner, he was in a coma after he got assaulted at school, Kenyon Woods Middle School in South Elgin. He was attacked after he bumped into another student. He ends up in a medically induced coma, which is just terrifying, right? Head injuries, facial fractures, the whole thing. I mean, just bullied at school. So Rizzo hears about it, reaches out on Twitter, posting, "Hey, heard you're a big at Cubs fan, Henry. When you're better, I have a couple tickets and batting practice passes waiting for you at Wrigley. Hashtag stay strong." And so the school finds out about it. They get to Henry, who was still in a coma at the time when he's putting out this tweet. And then it ends up with, Henry getting a ton of Cubs gear from Rizzo. And then this Saturday, he shows up at Wrigley with his parents, Henry and Karen, and his two sisters. And they're in the dugout, and there's pictures all over the internet of Anthony with Rizzo and with Henry. How cool is that?
That is very, very cool. And, you know, Rizzo is a cancer survivor, so maybe that's why he's got this perspective. But it is just such a wonderful perspective. And, you know, like the same way that Jonathan Toews was a leader at such an early age, Anthony Rizzo is such a leader at a very early age. And, you know, not only is he one of the two best players on his team, you could argue, you know, well, Arrieta's, you know, John Lester, you know, they're the better players. But Anthony Rizzo is a great player and just even a better dude. And this is another phenomenal story. There's so many other Anthony Rizzo stories. And being in radio, you get press releases all the time when guys are doing stuff like this. Rizzo does a lot of hospital visits, goes and sees patients, goes and sees kids without ever telling anybody.
It's really, you mentioned Rizzo having cancer and like that part of it and having some life perspective. I don't know, you know, how that line gets drawn right to what he's doing, but it's true. When you have a little life perspective thrown your way and not everything is just, you know, for some athletes, they're just, and I'm not taking anything away from the top level because they all worked incredibly hard to get there, but some of them have been so pampered and been told how great they were from such an early age that they just don't have that life perspective. And Rizzo clearly has it. Just for a kid like Henry, who's at school and is bullied and, I mean, I think we all know kids that experience that. Not to this level. I mean, this is a crazy story. Ends up in a coma. But, I mean, listen, kids are mean. They're insecure. They want to belong. They try to climb on the shoulders of others to do it. By the way, adults do the same thing.
Right. But I mean, okay, I got hit once in school. I mean, I got in one fight. I had a lot of guys, you know, call me names. You know, people say things, and kids are mean, and... You know, there are adults that are also mean, but the physical violence and that it's so bad that he has to be put into a medically induced coma.
That's great. I mean, that's just crazy stuff. And thank God he's okay. And Ed Wrigley and smiling big. He's got some, you know, that smile. If you go to the internet, it's enormous. He's got some beautiful braces going on. Just a young man coming into it's awesome.
And please understand that I have no problem with athletes that do things and send press releases, because that way we can promote their foundation and the foundation will get more money, and the foundation will get more people aware of it. So I have no problem with that. But my point I'm making is Anthony Rizzo doesn't – he just does this because it's the right thing to do. Steve Kerr was like that. Steve Kerr would go and do things like took Maryville Academy, took them all out for a Christmas dinner once. And never sent a press release. He was, you know, I happened to be at Harry Carey's that night. I happened to be at the bar at Harry Carey's that night. And I'm like, why didn't you send a press release? He goes, that's not why I did this. And it's like, what a cool guy.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that one, too. Listen, you want to promote it, go ahead.
Yeah.
I got no problem hearing all about the good things you're doing.
And we have no problem putting the word out.
Right. And Rizzo does that. Where he's got his big event every year. And
sure.
His website, Let's talk about his website, Rizzo44.com, the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation.
And give $20 right now. Give $10 right now. We're not knocking the people that send the press releases saying what they're doing.
Yeah, so at any rate, I thought it was important to bring that up. Yeah. Now,
by the way, Milwaukee's coming to town tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Anthony Rizzo, 2 years in a row, has made an unbelievable circus catch, like on the tarp, on that low brick wall. Get ready for something incredible, right by the fans next 3 days.
Don't want to lose tomorrow night. Don't want to be under 500. Would bother me.
They're not going to lose. They're Milwaukee. If I were the Brewers, I would just put a guy at short center and let the other team hit it off a tee.
They do have some pitching issues there. John Lester pitched well today, but didn't get much run support when he was in there, and then the Cubs bullpen gave it up. All right. Have you ever asked a dumb question, Harry?
I think that's a dumb question.
Here we go. Last night, as we take a little left turn here, last night, Clippers, Utah Jazz. Joe Johnson of the Jazz hits a game winner. We go to the post game. The Clippers had tied it up on a Chris Paul shot with about 13 seconds to go. Jazz got the ball back. Johnson went down and scored. So, intrepid reporter to Doc Rivers in the postgame. This is what happens.
Doc, when Chris has a lane to the basket and he goes for a quick two, I mean, it sets up the opportunity. I mean, what's the philosophy on that? Is it, do you wait and wave off an easy attack at the basket? Or in other words, he could have held up and tried to run the clock down to the final, when you were down two. I'm just...
Who would do that? Why would you ever do that?
Like, to maybe 5 seconds. You know,
so
enough time
miss,
for an offense.
The game's over.
Right. Well, no, like
that
5 seconds.
That makes no sense.
Right. I'm just asking.
No, that is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. When you're down two,
right.
you try to score.
Exactly.
And then you put it on your... You don't wait.
You rely on your defense.
You score.
As quickly as you can, however
If you can score in 1 second, you score.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, you always do that. Right. And if you can find another coach to tell you different, I want to meet him.
Listen, dummy. We're down two. We need a bucket. We can't time it perfectly so we can score right at the horn, and then we're going to overtime. It doesn't work that way.
As a reporter, that's got to be 100 times more uncomfortable than having Ditka yell at you. Ditka yelling at you has got to be intimidating, but Doc questioning, your level of stupidity, that's got to sting.
Yeah. Are you familiar with my moment with LeBron James?
LBJ?
Yeah. Dan, we could do this coming on back, because I forgot that I...
Oh, we have it here?
Yeah, I got a...
Beautiful.
I have a couple of them.
Oh, I've never... that is the definition of a tease.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be great. I can't wait to hear that.
All right, we got me with LeBron, and then me with Joakim Noah, too. These were two fine moments. We'll do that in a second. Just got it set up. 720 WGN. All right, before we get to some amazing questions by yours truly that were perhaps not liked exactly, particularly the one to Joakim Noah. Harry, any moments in time where you asked something perhaps on the air or in a locker room where you were given the treatment that our Clippers reporter last night was given by Doc Rivers? You idiot. Of course you score whenever you get a chance to score when you're down two. Can't time it out perfectly for you, pal.
I'm sure that there are many, many, many questions that I asked that were stupid, dumb, that I wanted back. You tend to remember the ones that
the ones that got away.
But I was going to say the other one. I remember Kobe, you know, getting my Goodfellas reference. I particularly enjoy your Goodfellas reference. Right now, instantly, I'm sure if I text any one of the guys I worked with, I'll text OC. We'll see how quickly he texts me back. The dumbest question I can think of, well, I don't recall who asked it, but remember Antonio Alfonseca?
Yeah, the six fingers.
Yeah, somebody asked him on the air, how long have you had six fingers?
Oh, that's rough. Well, so
okay.
That's not great. That is not great at all. Early going, by the way, Bulls and the Celtics tied up at six as we keep you up to date on Bulls basketball.
Bulls.
Okay. This was, do you remember the guy, do you remember when the Bulls were in the playoffs against the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yeah.
And do you remember when they lost to Cleveland the last time in six games?
Tibbs' last run.
Right. So LeBron was like talking about how they were this underdog team and whatnot the whole time. And so this was me to LeBron at the podium.
LeBron, Mark Carmen, WGN. Following up on that, what are fair expectations going forward? Do you feel like you guys are underdogs? I mean, how do you look at it?
Huh? Well, underdog?
Well, right.
Me?
I don't think so. But
no, me either. I would never be an underdog.
Would you call yourself a favorite?
I think we have a great chance. You know, that's what we're here for. You know, one thing about us, we're going to play hard. We're going to give ourselves a fighting chance. And, you know, we let the game take care of itself.
They ran that thing on SportsCenter for like a month. Underdog? Underdog? He was saying that no one's giving us a chance. I'm like, are you an underdog? I don't think you are, but you keep on saying it.
Hey.
I thought I recovered okay there.
Yeah, and you stood toe-to-toe with the king.
Yeah.
Underdog?
Well, right.
That's great.
Now
that's not that bad.
No, it was great. That was like my favorite moment. It wasn't bad, but it was. I was challenged.
Hey, wait, you hung in there.
Yeah. Now here's the one where I didn't hang in as well. So, the same series, LeBron drives the baseline, dunks on Noah.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron stares him down, and they give him a technical. And so Noah starts clapping back at him, right? So I thought he enjoyed the moment. Like, he got dunked on, but then LeBron got a tee. Bulls are going to the free throw line. He's clapping in his face. So I said to him, because I'll set up the question. I said, Joe, did you enjoy the moment when LeBron dunked on you? Which admittedly was not the great way to phrase what I was trying to get at. So this was Noah.
Yeah. Did he say something to you personally?
Why would I enjoy getting dunked on?
I don't know. Well, you got the crowd going. You were cheering. It was some emotion.
I
there.
Loved it. It was amazing.
It's the best feeling.
It's crazy. What a bad question.
Hey, Joe, let me.
So you can't really hear. Why would I enjoy getting dunked on? Why? What an awful question. And then Schuster comes in there and he's like, let me butt in here and save you, buddy. I'm like, hey, easy. I can. Let me hash this out with Joe. I thought that he was enjoying himself because LeBron overreacted and he got a T. Even though he had just gotten dunked on, which of course is not enjoyable. It's not as bad as the Clippers guy, Harry.
No, nowhere near as bad. That's a moment of uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
You know, Jason Sehorn once stopped my recorder. You know, a compact disc player.
Yeah.
I was at the game, Eagles-Giants, playoff game where Sehorn had an interception, returned it for a touchdown at the Meadowlands.
Okay.
And I'm in the locker room afterwards, and I ask him, I said, did you realize that you get in the end zone more than a lot of the running backs in this league? And he liked that one. He's like, yeah, you know.
It's no problem.
I'm lucky. It's cool. And then I asked him about a teammate of his. I'm trying to think who it was. It was somebody else in the secondary who was taking fluids during the game and going back in. And I said, you know, how hard is it for, you know, so-and-so to stay on the field when he has to go back and hit the margarita machine constantly during the game? And he reached over and he pushed stop on my
yeah, he did.
Device.
Right.
Just having fun.
Yeah, he's not going to go there. Did he yell at you?
Did not yell at me, but he was done with me.
Yeah. See you later.
Overrated. Jason Sehorn, overrated.
Yeah.
Ooh, he's a white guy in the secondary. Let's say he's awesome. No, let's not. He's overrated.
So you liked Sehorn until he stopped your recorder, though. You kind of liked him.
My favorite thing about Jason Sehorn is who he married.
Who Jason Sehorn married?
Hello, Angie Herman from Law and Order.
Okay, hey, my bad. I got to brush up on my Jason Sehorn over here.
Nah, I'd rather you brush up on Angie Herman.
Well, okay, I can do that too. So, hey, we got about 5 minutes here. Brian Noonan's coming up, and Noonan, you're welcome to come in at any time. We're taking you right up to 6 o'clock. I thought we should wrap up the show on getting everybody ready for Game 3 tomorrow night, Harry, because the play you. I know you don't want to go must wins, but tomorrow night
must win.
You gotta have it, right? I won't say must win, even though I just said must win. But I'll say this: you gotta have it. And
the reason why last
I think they're gonna get it, man. I really do. But I think it's gonna be nail bite city 3-2, 4-3, something along those lines.
The reason why last night wasn't a must win is because you could go into Nashville down 2-0, and still take down the first two games and win the series. If the Hawks don't win tomorrow night and they're down 3-0, even though mathematically it's not over, I would feel like, it's over, that it's going to be hard to come back and win four straight against a team that would have, in that scenario, beat them three straight times. Look, Nashville has outworked them. Sopel talked to us about that, that trap they're playing, that 1-4, and how it just thwarts the Hawks' offensive efforts. It's going to be very, very hard, and the Hawks haven't gotten a goal in 120 minutes of action, and Pecorine has 2 points more than the entire Hawks team put together.
Hard to believe.
That's nuts. But
it can't last. Cannot last.
Only the Rangers did better on the road this year than the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks won 50 games. They won 50 games with their number one goalie out for 3 weeks. Marian Hossa didn't play for a long time this season, and the Hawks were still able to win games. I think the core, the six guys that have, three times brought home Stanley Cups, Seabrook, Duncan Keith, Jamerson, Hossa, Kane, Taves. I don't think, those guys are going to go out there and not come up with the victory.
I sure hope not. I think an interesting guy tomorrow night is Ryan Hartman. I mean, he didn't get suspended, but he led the Hawks in penalty minutes this year, and I know that's kind of his role, but you can't be taking bad penalties now, mm-hmm. right?
Some dumb penalties.
Right. And if you look at his numbers in this year, like last night, when Hartman was on the ice, the Hawks had one shot attempt. Now, it's wrong to put it all on Ryan Hartman, but when he was on the ice, I had one. You know how many shot attempts the Predators had when he was out there?
7.
19. That's courtesy of Steve Rosenblum in your Chicago Tribune. That's one stat out of a whole million hockey stats that we can go over. But just the way that ended last night with Ryan Hartman, big spotlight on him for me tomorrow night when he's on the ice. Big time spotlight.
That's a very bad number.
That's a horrendous number.
Right, and Rosenblum does a great job of breaking down hockey numbers.
He loves all the Corsi stats and all that type of stuff.
He's Mr. Corsi.
Right.
The Hawks can win this game tomorrow night. It's going to be very, very hard. I would have never guessed they would have lost 5-0 last night, so what do I know? But I think the Hawks are going to go out there, and they've got to want it from the get-go. They have to. The Columbus Blue Jackets, down 2-0, scored 11 seconds into their game today. The Hawks have to have that sense of urgency. They have to have that intense, heightened sense of urgency from the second the puck drops, and do not stop.
Need the captain to score. Just boil it down to that. I want the captain to score early.
I want everybody to score.
Sure. But it's been too long for Jonathan Toews. You got to have it. And have that moment. He scores. Everybody goes nuts.
Yeah.
And Kane or two. The Blues beat the Wild today 3-1, so they lead that series 3-0. Blue Jackets leading the Penguins 3-1, end of one period. Pittsburgh is up top in that series 2-0, so Columbus trying to climb back in.